Wake up, everybody. It's time for the best new podcast with the best new country artists in the world. It's time for Up and Country. I'm your host, Ike Everard, and join me for the next half an hour as I take you on a journey with one of my favorite new country artists.
Hello and welcome into this week's episode of Up in Country. I'm your host, Ike Everard, and joining me today is the fantastic Gabrielle Metz. Now, Gabrielle is a new singer-songwriter in Nashville. She's from Alabama. She moved there in 2018 when she was just 17 years old. She knew nobody. She had no place to live. She'll tell you about it. Packed up her car and just drove to the city, and it's been working out pretty well. You know, she ended up doing well enough there. She didn't need to go to college. Her parents weren't thrilled, but they came around to it, and she's just now released her first two full studio production singles as an independent artist. It's pretty awesome. They're called Checkered Flag and Cajun Words, so go check them out on Spotify if you haven't. They're so good. She's got a really, really cool, unique sound. Definitely one that's a little bit more traditional country, but also has a couple pop influences. And she wrote with Christy Huff, who had on the last week's episode. They wrote a song called Thin Ice, and it's a very special treat. Gabrielle's going to play it for you all at the end of our conversation, so make sure to stay tuned for that. It is awesome. Hopefully she'll get to record it soon in the studio as well. So without further ado, here's my conversation with Gabrielle Metz.
Hi!
How you doing? I was just about to text you back on Instagram.
Like, shut
up,
message and
chance. Good call. So, where are you at right now?
At this very moment, I'm in my parents' house in Alabama.
Awesome, awesome. Have you been with them for a while or just kind of stopping by?
Yeah, I've been kind of floating back and forth between here and Nashville, depending on my schedule.
Yeah, for sure. No, that's fun. I mean, that's been a thing about this whole time. I've been spending a lot of time with my parents for sure.
Yeah, when I have stuff in Nashville, I'm up there. The rest of the time, I pretty much have been coming back here.
So, yeah. So, yeah. What have you been doing in Nashville when you go up there? Just writing or?
Yeah, not a lot of people are doing like in-person writes, but I'll go up there and every once in a while I'll do like a voice lesson in person rather than over. There was like a couple weeks where Nashville opened back up and actually did gigs, but that didn't last very long.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Did you get to play a couple shows when they did open up?
Yeah. A couple. Not very much. I mean, I think everything was open like maybe 2 weeks.
Right.
If even.
But that's nice to get out there and play, because I'm sure that it must be crazy to just not have any shows at all.
Yeah, I know. Well, and a lot of us have kind of been trying to compensate with Instagram lives, but it's just not the same vibe.
No, not at all. What, you're just sitting there staring at your phone or a camera and
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you mentioned not a lot of people have been doing in-person writes. Have you been doing like Zoom writes and stuff like that?
Yeah, pretty much Zoom and FaceTime for the most part. But honestly, like I've written a lot more by myself in this kind of stretch than I have in a while, which has been nice.
Yeah. I feel like there's a lot of soul searching going on for a lot of people.
Absolutely. 100%. We're just sitting here with nothing else to do other than analyze ourselves.
Definitely. And it must be cool to be back at your parents' house. Is that the house that you grew up in?
Yeah.
So maybe some inspiration there too.
Yeah. Well, and just seeing like the few friends that I keep in touch with from down here, just kind of, it's been nice. It's been a nice little recharge.
Yeah, definitely. So take me back to you growing up in that house. What got you into music and what was like the start of your whole journey?
That's a bit of a complicated question. I mean, I've been singing since, there's a video that my parents have. They joke that I sang before I talked. There's a video of me somewhere in this house of me singing and like just standing up in my crib. Singing God. I've always loved singing and music, but I started writing and playing guitar at like 14.
That's awesome. Yeah. So what was that like? What like made you just decide one day to just sit down and do that?
I don't know. I was always good at English and writing and things like that in school, and it just kind of, you know, seemed like this natural progression for me. I didn't really think of it, to be honest. I would just be like, you know, outside here at the house working on something, and I'd be like, oh, this is a cool melody idea, or just like go grab a notebook and like jot down lyrics. And it was just a very, it wasn't like I sat down one day, I was like, I'm gonna start writing songs. It's sort of this natural progression that happened for me. So I was like, you know, if I'm gonna write stuff, I need to be able to play an instrument. So started doing guitar, and then it just kind of went from there.
So what did your parents say when you really started getting into it, and maybe when you recorded your first music?
So my mom told me about it, because she really wanted artistic and like musical kids. So she started me and my brother in piano when we were like 3 and 4. And I hated it. I hated it. I banned it. It just made no sense to me. And I just didn't like it. And I put up such a fight about it that when I came back to it at like 14, 15, she was like, no, I invested all this money when you were a kid and you were having nothing to do with it. She was like, to prove yourself to me. And so I just got like summer jobs and stuff around my hometown, saved up money and bought my own guitar and just like started teaching myself. And after I did that, she was like, okay, all right, I'll play guitar lessons for you now. I'll pay for your musical stuff and help you out. She was funny about it. My dad was just always kind of chill. He's like, okay, if you want to do music.
Yeah. No, that's funny though, because like when you're little and you're playing instruments, you never really want to do it because your parents are making you go. You could be like outside with your friends from school or whatever.
And it just, the concept of reading music and stuff like that at that age just did not make sense to me, and I wasn't having it. I was like, no.
No chance. Yeah, so I bet she was probably surprised when you pulled out that guitar.
Yeah, and I just started, I bought the guitar, and I bought a Guitar for Dummies little book and just started teaching myself, and she's like, okay, all right, we'll get you in guitar lessons now, we'll get you in singing lessons. It was just, she was funny about it.
That's awesome. So then take me through the timeline, because you moved to Nashville, right?
And I did.
You put out music in 2018, that was the earliest I could find on Spotify.
Yeah, so my moving to Nashville story is a little unique. I mentioned I started writing about 14, and my junior year of high school, so I was like 16, 17, I really got into performing and stuff around Birmingham and just the surrounding areas where I lived. And I decided before my senior year of high school, I was like, you know, if I want to do music full-time and I really want to go after this, I need to do it 100%. If I'm gonna do that, I need to be in Nashville. So I sat down with my parents a few weeks before my senior year of high school was supposed to start. And I was like, I want to do online school. I want to finish in December, and I want to move to Nashville. And they're like, okay, well, all right. So I met with my guidance counselor, and she was like, you can do online school, but you're still going to finish in May. I mean, it's a year curriculum. And I was like, okay, all right. And so they got me enrolled in the curriculum, and I was finished in December, all into 3.5 months.
Wow.
And later I moved to Nashville. And 17, wasn't even 18 yet. Had no place to live, knew no one, and had no job. And I just kind of packed up my car and went, and it just worked out somehow.
That's awesome.
Got an apartment, just started kind of going around town meeting people. And I ended up that spring releasing like a songwriter's EP, is what we called it. So it's basically just guitar vocals, just of the stuff that I was working on at that point. Just so when I was out, you know, networking, making connections and stuff, there was something that I could be like, this is kind of where I'm at right now, you know. As a 17-year-old kid, just kind of getting her feet under her.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, and then the newest stuff, we went and recorded. We just recorded a group of three, and I've just been releasing the singles, and I'm trying to get back in the studio, but it's been a little bit crazy with the
quarantine. Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, those new singles sound great. So you just released Cajun Words, which is a really cool song.
Yeah.
So, yeah, tell me a bit about that one.
Yeah, so my dad's family is from right outside of New Orleans, from South Louisiana. And so I grew up going down there as a kid, two or three times a year at least, football games, etc. And I was just always fascinated because that's, I mean, I grew up in the South, but South Louisiana is a whole ball game.
Yeah.
It's a completely different culture than the rest of the South. So I was just always fascinated with it. And I kind of wanted to write a tribute song, I guess, for lack of a better term, for that and for that culture and everything. And so I just pulled out as much Cajun French and kind of Creole culture things that I could think of and crafted that song together with my co-writer.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. And there's, it's got that cool jam session at the end.
Yeah, we studio, and there were some amazing musicians in that session. And we just kind of let them go. We were like, you know what? We're just going to play the click track. Y'all have at it. And they just went for it. They were like, we love it. This is
yeah. That's awesome.
Play in country. A little bit more of that Zydeco feel into it.
For sure, yeah. So, do you remember that first day in Nashville when you got there? Like, what did you do?
I had a write.
Oh, really? So, yeah, so you knew no one, yeah. You get to the city, and...
I did. I had been making trips up there for a little while, so I knew a few people.
Okay.
I had just been going up, like, on the weekends and stuff like that. And I had a write. I had scheduled a write. It was actually Valentine's Day, 2018. And it was actually with the Hobbs sisters, who are a duo in Nashville. And I got up there, and we had a write that afternoon. And I just remember it was freezing cold. My windshield iced over when I was on the drive up. Completely, like, I could not see.
Yeah, you were probably just like, oh my gosh, what am I getting myself into?
A little bit, but it worked out.
It did. Do you remember what you wrote that day?
Maybe. I can't remember. I've written quite a few songs with them. And I think we wrote that day one called Jealous. That we were all just like, we're single. It's Valentine's Day. Let's just write a fun little, like, flirty song. And so we wrote one called Jealous.
Nice, nice. You think you'll ever record it, or is that just one that's just going to sit?
I don't know. I play it out a little bit, like at rounds and stuff. Yep. Like that. Sometimes on Instagram Lives. As of right now, I'm not planning on recording it, at least in this next few, like, batch of songs, but I'm not going to count it out. It's actually a pretty good song. So,
so maybe we'll hear it someday.
Maybe, yeah.
So what is the plan for the next songs? Because I know I've talked to a couple artists, and they are really set on just doing singles because each song can get so much more attention. Do you feel that way, or are you going to go for, like, an EP or an album even?
Yeah, I haven't decided, to be honest. We are kind of living in a singles age right now, so I'm kind of rolling with it. And so my plan for this next few, I'm at least going to do three more singles. After that, I'm not sure. I don't know if I'll do an EP or a full-length album. I haven't kind of decided on that yet.
Sure, yeah. But yeah. I think the singles thing is, like, really interesting to me, just because it's mm-hmm. different than what we've seen, you know, throughout history, I guess, but it definitely fits the times.
Yeah. Well, and right now, we're kind of living in an age of short attention spans.
Yeah.
And, you know, getting a single out every 3 months or so, you're kind of staying in front of people versus compiling an album and, you know, it's one release versus, you know, kind of stretching it out. So it's just different marketing and game plans.
Yeah, definitely. Who do you work with on, like, marketing? Is that all you, or do you have people who you go to? Because you're independent, but
yeah.
How does that work? Is that, yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of just Nashville is great in the fact that it's really a kind of a communal town. So when I went to release this Checker Flag, which was my first full production single I released back in January, I just sat down with a bunch of my friends that had, you know, either had success on Spotify or been doing really good on social media or X, Y, and Z, and just kind of got their two cents on it. And then just kind of applied basic business marketing knowledge to it as well, and just kind of ran with it that way. But it's kind of, I feel like it's a bit of a team effort. The songwriters and, you know, friends that I have around me that are also in this business we're all really good about, like, hey, if I can help you, cool. If you can help me, I appreciate it, you know? So it's a bit of a team effort, I suppose.
Yeah, no, that's the great part about being in Nashville. But so now that you've gotten there, they say it's a 10-year town. You know, hopefully it'll be a little bit quicker for you. But, like, what's the hardest part about launching a career there?
You know, Nashville is fantastic in so many regards. But Nashville is also, like, right now it's the hub for music. It's kind of expanding past just country. And a lot of people in different genres are migrating there. And it's a bit of a flooded market. So for as great as that can be, I mean, there's talent everywhere. It can also, I mean, it's stiff competition. You gotta have your stuff together, and you gotta be on your A game. So this is a good thing. It definitely has pushed me and gotten me out of my comfort zone in many levels. But just kind of always trying to get better, because there's always somebody that can play the guitar better than you, or sing better than you, or write better than you. But I think in regards to, like, the 10-year town thing, I feel like Nashville runs that way because Nashville's such a connection town. It's a relational town. So you kind of just have to get your feet under you and start building those relationships. And relationships take time. So I think that's why it's kind of been dubbed a 5 to 10 year town.
Right. But that's great for you then, that you got in there so early in your life and you're able to really grow up there in a lot of ways.
Yeah, absolutely. who I was when I moved there is, I mean, fundamentally, I'm still the same, obviously.
Sure. Yeah.
There's a lot of growth and growing pains and changing. I bet.
What was, like, the biggest moment for you living there where you, like, felt like you grew up the most in?
Oh, I don't know how much I recognize it when I'm there.
That's fair.
Like, just, like, day-to-day life is, I'm very much, like, pragmatic about my life. I'm like, all right, this is what I got to do today. This is what we're working on. You know, let's go get after it. But I come back home here, and, like, I'll meet up with some old friends that are currently in college. And I'm like, that's so crazy. Because they have, like, a whole other set of responsibilities. Like, they have to go to class and X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, I have to show up to work and, you know, like, pay my bills and, like, adult.
Yeah.
And that's when I notice it the most. I'm like, wow, what I'm doing is very not the norm.
Definitely, yeah. Was it ever a consideration to go to college, or were you just like, I mean, because you decided in senior year of high school you were going to go to Nashville.
Yeah, when I decided to go there, when I decided to move to Nashville, the whole premise with my parents was that I had 6 months until college started. College started in late August, early September, and I was supposed to go. I had a full ride academic scholarship to a college here in Alabama. And 2 days before freshman orientation, I came home for the weekend. Orientation was supposed to be, I think, that, like, Tuesday or Wednesday. And I sat down with them and I was like, you know, I'm writing all these songs. I'm getting better at writing. I'm getting better and more comfortable on stage. I'm meeting people. I was like, I really feel like I'm starting to you know, get my feet under me, make some headway. I was like, if I come back and go to college, that's all down the drain. And both my parents are in the medical field. They're both physical therapists. And they were very much like, you are supposed to go to college.
I bet.
So it was a discussion, but I decided to defer a year. And that's turned into two, going on three now.
Yeah, that's how it goes sometimes.
Yeah, they've slowly kind of come to terms with it. Because it's just, I mean, my mom at this point, we were having a conversation the other day, and she was like, you know, at first I was against it, but she was like, now I feel like if you go back to college, then having a backup plan, you're not going to put like 100% into your music. She's like, you can't do 100% into music and 100% into your backup plan. So then you're just halfway doing both things. I was like, you know, that's a fantastic way of looking at it.
Yeah, wise words. Moms always know best.
Yep.
So. Yeah, I can't even imagine what my parents would have said if I was just like, no, I'm not going to go to college. I don't think they would have appreciated that at all.
Yeah, well, it was a bit of a, it was a long conversation.
I'm sure. Yeah.
But I'm pretty level-headed in the grand scheme of things. And I had always felt like I needed a backup plan. So for me to like sit down and be like, this is why I shouldn't go to college. And they were like, okay, she's a very smart kid. She's not just like rebelling and not going to college.
Right. I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah, it was very well thought out. So, and it seems to be working out so far. So, we'll see.
Yeah, so I'm curious now that you're in Nashville. There's always all this talk about women in country music and all the controversy about radio play and everything.
Yeah.
Do you feel like it is as big as everyone makes it seem now that you're inside of Nashville?
I think it's a very... It is a very real issue for women coming up in country music, and not just women, but, you know, people of color, people of different orientations. It's just country has slowly become kind of like the good old boys genre. It's a lot of men who, you know, look the same, sound the same, kind of write the same kind of music. And it's a complicated topic to talk about, because you're not gonna solve it in one conversation.
No, right.
But it's something that you have to battle. I mean, I walked into a meeting with a label, and they were like, you know, we like you, like your music, but we aren't signing females right now.
Jeez. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's kind of changed from this looking at the standard of someone's work, or, you know, how good their music is or how good they are on stage, all the things that should go into, you know, being a successful artist, and it's just kind of chalked up to your gender or your ethnicity or X, Y, and Z. So it is a battle that is being fought by a lot of people in this town. But I don't know. I don't know how to solve it.
No, right. No one does except the executives.
But yeah, it is a bit of an issue in this town.
Yeah, for sure. That's interesting to me too, that they would say that, you know, they're not signing women right now, just because I feel like you have a really cool, like, I mean, it's not like traditional country necessarily, but it definitely has like that traditional country appeal.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of the women coming up right now are more pop country, just because I guess that's what the industry favors.
Yeah. Well, you had, I mean, for so many years, like me growing up as a kid, you know, looking at the country music genre, the females that I had to look up to were, you know, Carrie, Miranda, Taylor at the time when she was younger. And then kind of once I got a little bit older, Kelsey kind of went in that vein.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like all of the women that are coming out right now, I mean, you know, Ingrid Andress is one of my favorite examples to use, is they're writing fantastic songs with great lyrics, and it's just, there's so much talent in
Absolutely.
This town.
Yeah. Have you heard Lainey Wilson?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, no, I love her. She's someone who I feel like kind of sounds similar to you. And it's probably that Alabama.
Yeah, I get that. I get that a good bit. We also kind of sometimes have the same sense of style as well. So the amount of times that I've walked in somewhere and like, because her whole thing is like big bell-bottom jeans or bell-bottom pants.
Mm-hmm.
And I have quite a few pairs of those as well. So anytime I'm out and wearing them, they're like, you remind me so much of Lainey. I'm like, thank you.
That's funny.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I just think, like, I don't know. I feel like labels should try to diversify that a lot more than they do. But, yeah. All you can really do is just keep grinding, right?
Yeah, keep after it.
And, yeah, so you must have written now a ton of songs since you got to Nashville. What? Do you know how many?
To be honest, I don't know.
It'd be hard to keep track of.
Yeah, I think it's in, like, the 350 range, I think.
Dang, yeah.
Don't quote me.
So, do you have an absolute favorite of all the songs you've written?
No. No, they're kind of like your children when you get done with them. I definitely have like a handful of them that I just kind of fall back on that I really, really like. But no, I can't pick a favorite. You can't. That's just wrong.
That's very, yeah. But I mean, you got to have like the group, right, that you go to if you had a meeting with a label or something that you would want to show off.
Yeah, definitely. And it's normally ones that are a little bit, not really edgier. I don't know how, like, okay, so the one that I'm actually trying to record right now, I wrote with, Christy Huff, which I think you talked with.
Yeah, yeah. No, Christy's great. Yeah.
Yeah, she is. It was actually one of the first songs we wrote together. And since we've wrote it, anytime I'm playing out Instagram Live, I tend to pull that one out because it's just, it's got a little bit of something that's not traditional country, but that stays, you know, in that whole vein, has good lyrics, got a, you know, it's one of my favorites.
Yeah. And that's really Christy's whole thing, right? It's that mm-hmm. pop country genre, which is really cool.
Miracle. Thrown in there.
Yo, what's that one called?
Thin Ice. And if I can get in the studio, I'm hoping I'm gonna release it like September-ish.
Okay, yeah, that'll be awesome. So I'm always curious to ask, if you were to open up your Spotify right now or Apple Music or whatever you use, what would be playing?
All right, if we're just like shuffling it.
Yeah.
I mean, like, are we talking artists or specific songs?
Either. I mean, I'm always curious what artists, like, do you listen to country a lot or do you listen to other things?
Mainly country. There's a little bit of, like, kind of alternative stuff in here. Not, like, there's a little bit of pop, a little bit of rock. I pretty much listen to anything as long as I can understand the lyrics and they're good lyrics.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're a songwriter at heart, so that makes sense.
Yeah, that's always the first thing that I'm listening to. Jordan Davis's new EP is super good.
Oh yeah, Church in the Chevy is a great song.
Yeah, Little Big Town. More on the pop side, I've really gotten into this UK band called New Hope Club. Kacey Musgraves, I said, Ingrid Andress. I'm a big fan of hers.
Do you find yourself listening to more women or more men or just kind of equal?
I feel like I standardly listen to more females. It's not like a conscious thing for me, but just because I do, anytime I listen to a song, I listen to the lyrics first and then kind of latch onto them before I really kind of focus on the melody or the lyric, not the lyrics, the music part of it. So I tend to relate more to what the females are putting out.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's interesting because I know girls who will only listen to guys, and I know guys who will mostly listen to girls, and like, it's really interesting.
Yeah, mine's probably like 60-40. You know, it's still like relatively even split, but I tend to lean a little bit to the female.
Yeah, yeah. So if you could collaborate with anyone in any genre, who would it be? Whether it's a write or a song or whatever.
That's like Sophie's choice.
you could give a top three if you want.
Okay, so if we're just like dreaming big right now.
Yeah.
Writing wise, this is not an artist, but writing wise, I would love to get in the room with Shane McAnally.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you know who he is.
Oh, yeah.
He's just fantastic. And I'm so fascinated with his work. So, songwriting-wise, him. Also, writing-wise, I keep bringing her up, but I'm in an Ingrid Andress phase right now. I love to write with her because she writes fantastic. Like, collaboration artist-wise, though. Female. I'm going to go Kelsey.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to go Hunter Hayes.
Okay, yeah. Hunter Hayes is an interesting choice, I feel like.
Yeah. His musicianship is just next level. Yeah, let me grab my guitar. Give me 2 seconds.
Awesome.
Let's see. What kind of song are we feeling? Like, you want to hear the new single, or...
Let's do something a little bit deeper.
Okay,
could you play Thin Ice?
Yeah.
We're talking about that. Let's go for it.
Black dress and staring in the mirror. Your hands hold mine. You're holding me down. And I can't tell. Can't stay in these conditions. We're not built for this. You should know by now. Can't you tell? 'Cause baby, we are spinning our two hearts, risking it all. It all. We gotta melt this cold between us, or we're in for a fall. Take a step back for a minute. Don't wanna do anything. We'll pray. So leave the words unsaid. Was it just one thing that we did wrong? I'm not sure how we got in this mess. But get me out of this. Baby, we are spinning our two hearts. We're risking it all. Risking it all. eyes on thin ice.
Wow, that's awesome.
Thanks.
That's a banger. Yeah, I hope you get to go and record it soon.
Oh, I know, me too. I got to play it like full band for the first time right before quarantine and everything, and with the drums and
yeah.
I hope I record it too.
I love that you got to play it right before quarantine. Like, it's just taunting you, and now you just gotta wait.
Yeah, hearing it, it's always so cool to hear it go from, you know, something like that, just acoustic guitar and vocal, to a full band. It's just such a, it's fantastic.
Yeah, there's just nothing. To see that vision realized must be so cool.
Yeah.
All right, absolutely. Well, I'll let you get going here, but thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah, and thanks for playing that song, too. That was awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, hopefully it'll be out soon.
Again, that was Gabrielle Metz, and hopefully that song will be out soon. Such a cool song, you know. It really does, I think, have that cool vibe she was talking about, where it is traditional country, but it also has some pop sounds to it. I think that's one of those kind of songs that could really, you know, skyrocket her career from where she's at now, which is obviously making a living in Nashville and perfecting her craft, but to a point where she could really become known, and I mean, maybe even sign a record deal, you know. So hopefully that happens soon. And I just love what she mentioned about Lainey Wilson, because when I first heard her music, I immediately thought of Lainey, and I love that they get compared to each other all the time in Nashville as well. I just think that is kind of funny. But again, thanks to her for coming on. Great time, great story, you know, just packing up and moving to Nashville and just making it work. I think that's the traditional, I guess, just like the ideal country singer story. That's something that we probably don't see a lot of anymore, but it just is so unique and so cool, and so it just shows such a devotion to the music. So again, thanks to Gabrielle Metz for coming on the show. Best of luck to her in the future, and I'll see you guys next week again. This is Up in Country. I'm Ike Everard.
For more, make sure to check out Up in Country on Twitter and follow @Blaze_Country. New episodes coming every week, so make